Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stumbled Upon podcast. I am your host, Kate, and each week we'll be taking a deep dive into a random topic that has sparked my interest. I hope you're all having a wonderful week and are looking forward to the weekend ahead. This week's topic is lightning. So we are in, for those of you who live in the South, happy hurricane season. It has officially begun. And with the summer comes the summer thunderstorms. If you know, you know. And I was witnessing a thunderstorm the other day, and one of my coworkers mentioned that she had heard that you are more likely to be struck by lightning a second time if you've already been struck once, and that seemed kind of sus to me, so I wanted to do some research into lightning and lightning strikes. And then it also kind of made me start thinking about how I viewed lightning as a child. And when I was a little kid, I was afraid of lightning. Well, not really afraid of lightning per se, but just thunderstorms in general were kind of scary when I was really little. And then as I got older, you know, we loved to go, my sister and I loved to go play in the rain. And it was just kind of something that we did as children, was watch thunderstorms from the porch. And so it wasn't that scary to me. But then of course, as you get older, and then you're exposed to the dangers of storms as not necessarily an adult, but as someone who understands sort of the consequences of storms, they become a little bit more stressful, I think. And so I was just kind of thinking about lightning and thunderstorms in general. And actually, I wonder if maybe I should do a deep dive into hurricanes, because that might be interesting to sort of look at different hurricanes that have really impacted different places. You know, there's obviously the big ones that you know about, but what even are hurricanes? Well, we know what they are, but they're getting worse, that's for sure. And, you know, because global warming isn't real. So all these storms that are getting worse is just happening because we don't know. So anyway, I digress. So what is lightning? Well, it is a giant spark of electricity in the atmosphere between the clouds, the air, or the ground. And I was like, duh, obviously, we all know that it's electricity. So where does it start? Well, the creation of lightning is a complicated process. Scientists currently know what general conditions are needed to produce lightning, but there's still debate about exactly how a cloud builds up electrical charges and how lightning forms. First, let's start with how a thunderstorm forms, because you have to understand what's going on sort of big picture before you can understand where they think that the lightning comes from. So thunderstorms often develop early in the day when the sun heats the air near the ground and pockets of warmer air start to rise in the atmosphere. When these pockets of air reach a certain level in the atmosphere, cumulus clouds will start to form. As the continued heating causes these clouds to grow vertically into the atmosphere, the towering cumulus clouds may be one of the first signs of a developing thunderstorm. The infographic that I saw when I was researching this showed the cloud sort of growing. It sort of stacks on top of itself as it grows, as that air heats and it rises. The final stage of storm development occurs as the top of the cloud becomes anvil-shaped. As the thunderstorm cloud grows, precipitation forms within the cloud. A well-developed storm cloud contains mostly small ice crystals in the upper levels of the cloud, and a mix of small ice crystals and small hail in the middle levels, and then finally a mix of rain and melting hail in the lower levels. The air movements and collisions between the various types of precipitation in the middle of the cloud cause the precipitation particles to become charged. So basically, as the small ice crystals and small hail in the middle of the cloud are sort of moving around, bouncing around, and as they smack into each other, they are transferring electrons, and electrons are what carry negative charge in particles. So if a molecule loses an electron, that molecule becomes positively charged because it has lost that negative charge. And if a molecule gains an electron, it becomes negatively charged because it has gained that negative ion. So as they're bouncing around into each other, they're transferring these charges and becoming positively and negatively charged within the cloud. So how does the lightning form? Well, lightning, as we said, is a giant spark of electricity in the atmosphere, or between the atmosphere and the ground. Where does that spark come from? Well, the charged particles that are in the cloud will start to separate and become stronger. So they separate into layers of negative and positive charges. As the layers build up, it creates an electric field between the cloud and the ground. So there are different layers in the cloud that are positively and negatively charged, and then the ground itself is going to have a different charge as well. When the difference in the charges between the ground and the cloud become too great, the air's insulating capacity starts to fail. This breakdown is what allows for a rapid electrical discharge, which is what we see as lightning. Lightning can occur between opposite charges within the thunderstorm cloud or between opposite charges in the cloud and on the ground. What I thought was really interesting is that thunder is the sound that's made by a flash of lightning. A thunderstorm is always going to have lightning because the thunder is actually produced by the lightning, not the other way around. Well, I actually always thought that thunder was produced by hot air and cold air touching, which I guess technically is how it's produced, but the reason why the hot air exists is from the lightning heating the air. So as the lightning passes through the air, it superheats it to up to 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And that rapid heating causes it to expand and create the sound wave that we hear as thunder. The frequency of the sound changes with distance from the lightning that produces it. So if you're very close to the lightning, it sounds like a tearing noise because the frequency is higher. A few seconds later, you hear a sharp click or loud crack, and then several tens of seconds later, the thunder has quieted to the low frequency rumbling that we're probably more familiar with. You can actually use thunder to estimate the distance to lightning. Now, I thought this was made up because as a child, I remember when we were little kids, at some point, somebody said that if you count the seconds or count the Mississippis between seeing a lightning bolt and then hearing the thunder, you could judge the distance between you and the storm. I think when I was a kid, it was like you count the Mississippis between it, and then that's the number of miles between you and the storm. And that's not quite accurate, but it is actually, you can actually do that, which I thought was funny because I didn't realize that you could. So the reason you can do this is because light travels through the air roughly a million times faster than sound does, and sound will travel approximately 1/5 of a mile per second. So if you count the number of seconds, or Mississippis, from the time you see a flash to the time you hear thunder, and then divide that by 5, you get the number of miles to the lightning, between you and the lightning, which I thought was really interesting. So if you count and you get 5 seconds between the lightning flash and the thunder, then you are, 5 divided by 5 is 1. So then you are 1 mile from the storm. And I thought that was really interesting, actually, to know that that's legit. So where does lightning strike? Most lightning flashes start inside the cloud. If a flash is going to strike the ground, a channel will develop downward toward the surface. Because lightning can go cloud to cloud, or it can go cloud to ground. When it gets less than roughly 100 yards from the ground, objects like trees and buildings start sending sparks up to meet the channel that's coming downward towards the surface. When one of the sparks connects with the downward channel, a huge electrical current surges rapidly down the channel to the object that produced the spark, which is what we see as lightning. Tall objects are more likely to be struck by lightning because they are more likely to produce one of the connecting sparks. Lightning itself is an electrostatic discharge. So think about when you are walking around in socks, right? And you build up static and then you touch something and it creates a little spark. That's essentially like a tiny version of lightning, because it's the same kind of electricity, that electrostatic discharge. However, lightning can have 100 million to 1 billion volts, so it's a bit stronger than your average little electrostatic shock. A positive lightning bolt is considered more dangerous because its peak electric current is often stronger and its peak charge can be much greater than a negative strike. Thunderstorms and lightning help maintain the balance of the Earth's global electric current, which I thought was interesting. There is always a steady current of negatively charged ions floating upwards from the entire surface of the Earth and positive ions flowing downwards from the atmosphere. Thunderstorms help transfer negative ions back down to earth because negative lightning strikes are more common than the positive ones. And without thunderstorms and lightning, the earth atmosphere electrical balance would disappear in 5 minutes, which was insane for me to think about. And it got me thinking, just as a side note, about have you seen the ionizing things that you can stand on? So it's like a pad and you plug it into an outlet. You plug it into the ground of an outlet and you're supposed to stand on it, and it's supposed to, I don't know if it's supposed to give you negative charge or, well, I guess it can't give you negative charge because that's probably dangerous. It's supposed to give you neutral charge. I don't actually know what it's supposed to do, but it's a grounding mat, you know? And so that's why it's plugged into the ground of the outlet. But I don't think the ground of the outlet actually has any current traveling through it. So I don't think it's actually doing anything. I think that's a gimmick, now that I'm thinking about it. I don't know, but I have seen them. Actually, somebody gave me one time and I didn't notice any difference, so I didn't keep using it. But then I also got me thinking about how people in like the yoga community, for example, they talk about, and in a lot of different communities with like meditation and that kind of thing, they talk about grounding by putting your bare feet on the earth and how it's important. This is like culturally relevant as well. I think a lot of different cultures also see grounding as something really sacred and part of their like spiritual practice. And learning about the negative ions flowing up from the surface of the earth while I was doing this research got me thinking about that. And I thought that was really interesting because in this case, it's like science is sort of proving this theory of grounding, because we know scientifically that there are negative ions always traveling upwards from the surface of the earth. So it would make sense to me that that somehow translates into some kind of peaceful feeling when you are meditating or what have you, barefooted on the earth or something similar. Although I don't, you know, humans, as we'll talk about in a little bit, humans don't retain electrical charges from like outside sources. So I don't really know if the negative ions coming off the surface of the earth actually have any kind of scientifically proven effect on you as a human being, but surely there's got to be something going on. I don't know. I should have probably gone down that rabbit hole too. Maybe I'll save that for another day, like grounding, the practice of grounding and those grounding mats and all that kind of stuff, just to see what the research says about that. Anyway, I digress. So people who are struck by lightning, I thought this was kind of the whole spark, no pun intended, behind looking up lightning and what it was about, was people actually, like the likelihood of you getting struck by lightning. The odds of being struck in a given year, according to the CDC, are less than 1 in 1 million, despite the fact that the US has about 40 million lightning strikes that hit the ground annually. About 90% of people struck will survive, and this is partly because much of the energy of the strike has already dissipated by the time it reaches people's bodies, and partly because much of the current flows over the body instead of into it. A key to survival is bystander CPR, so the strike's biggest risk is stopping your heart. As you may know, your heart is run by electricity, and so when you are hit by electricity, that can cause your heart to stop because it overloads the electrical circuits in there. So having people do CPR is one of the ways that lightning strike victims are able to recover, although they do tend to have long-lasting neurological damage or effects from it. They did mention that people struck do not retain the electrical charge, like I mentioned a little bit ago, so it is safe to touch them once they have been struck by lightning to do CPR. Crouching down or lying flat is unlikely to protect you because although lightning strikes higher objects more often, only a small portion of strikes on humans are direct hits. The vast majority of deaths are caused by ground current, where lightning hits a distance away and then travels through the ground in all directions. So let's say that lightning strikes a tree. It will hit and do damage to the tree, but the charge is then dissipated along the surface of the earth. And though this current will dissipate fairly quickly, it's not instantaneous. So let's say a tree gets struck by lightning and then you're standing near it. That ground current is what's going to hit you. And so that is what's going to cause the damage or, you know, the injuries from the strike. Furthermore, those ground currents can travel even further if it's going through water, metal fences, power lines, or plumbing. So that reminded me of a story about a fitness instructor that I had one time who had mentioned that she was on her phone during a thunderstorm. Her phone was plugged into charge. And she happened to be on, like, scrolling on her phone during this thunderstorm. And her house was actually struck by lightning. And the electrical current blew through the electrical wiring in her house. And she actually ended up getting hit by the lightning kind of indirectly or... Yeah, indirectly, because she was holding on her phone. So that electric surge went through the house, went through the wiring, hit into her phone, and obviously she was holding it, so then it went through her body. And it did cause, I don't think her heart stopped, but it did make her very ill for a while and had some kind of long-term side effects, specifically with her heart. And so it's actually really dangerous and scary if you think about it. That's one thing that I had mentioned previously. I was talking to somebody about being told, like, not to take showers when it's storming outside, and they thought that I was crazy. And this sort of legitimizes that fear or that concern, because if you are taking a shower, for example, and your house gets hit by lightning and it just so happens to hit your, like, travel into your water heater or your plumbing or whatever, that can travel through the plumbing system and you can be electrocuted. The article that I read had mentioned, like, washing dishes during a storm and then touching the faucet and getting zapped that way. And it said that it would be a pretty aggressive shock. And so that's just something that I think about. So that is something that I'm scared of personally, is any kind of contact with water during thunderstorms freaks me out. And I feel vindicated by that fear, because I was essentially told that I was being dramatic when I said, I don't think you're supposed to take showers in thunderstorms. And it's true. Don't take showers in thunderstorms. Don't have your phone plugged in and on. You can have it plugged in, but don't be on it for sure. And really, the general rule of thumb is to sort of not be touching electronic devices during thunderstorms in general, if you can avoid that, because that's could potentially become the conduit for the electrical charge getting to you. It's also a myth that wearing rubber-soled shoes will draw off current and wearing metal will attract it. So this was a myth that I remember from my childhood as well, that, like, wearing, you know, tennis shoes means that you are less likely to get hit by lightning, and that is not the case. The quote from the article I read was, "Lightning strikes where it wants to strike." So I thought that was kind of funny. They said in the article, "There is no way your attire has any effect on the direction up to 2 million volts of electricity takes." And when they put it like that, it sort of makes sense. Like, your one metal bracelet is not going to really attract or deter that much electricity. So you can rest easy with that, I guess. They did mention that if people have burn marks from metal jewelry, it's because the lightning or the electrical charge that was going through the person heated the metal, and that is what caused it to burn. So this got me thinking, when I was researching this about the soles of your shoes, that led me to start thinking about how I remember when I was growing up that I was told if you were in a car, you were less likely to get hit by the lightning because of the rubber tires on the car keeping it grounded. And then that led me to start thinking about airplanes. So, like, what do they do if they get hit by lightning? So I looked that up, and apparently it's not very common. According to NOAA, commercial transport passenger planes are hit by lightning an average of one or two times a year. So it really doesn't happen that often. And it's because the pilots are generally flying, like, not through the clouds. So if they are above, they don't fly through bad weather for lots of reasons, but one of them is that if they get through the storm, they get above the storm, then they're not going to draw that electrical charge to them. And so it's really during takeoff and landing that you're most at risk of getting hit by lightning, which makes takeoff and landing 10 times scarier already. The article that I read said that most airplanes are built to have conducting paths that direct the electricity to dissipators on the wings, and aircraft are actually the initiators of lightning strikes because their presence enhances the ambient electrical fields and facilitates electrical breakdown through the air. So remember I said that those different layers of electrical charges form through the clouds, and then those fields get stronger, and then the insulation of the air breaks down, and that's what allows the strike to come through. Well, essentially, airplanes just make all that worse. And so that is why they are more likely to initiate the strike than just randomly be hit by it. And if that weren't enough to freak you out about air travel. According to the meteorologist that wrote the article that I read, he said that lightning is really not that big of a deal for planes, and that hail is much more dangerous because it can break windshields and cause catastrophic damage to the engines. So I was like, thank you for that new fear unlocked, and I am never ever gonna fly in an airplane ever again because it is just too damn scary. I never once thought to be concerned about hail when I was in an airplane, and now that is just going to be on my mind anytime we go through a thunderstorm. So you're welcome for that if you didn't already know. On that note, in conclusion, lightning is actually much more sciencey than I expected. I mean, I guess it makes sense because it's a scientific phenomenon, but I just didn't realize how much electrical science was involved, which sounds stupid because it is electricity, but you know, it is what it is. It's also something to be a bit more cautious around. The likelihood of getting struck is small, but maybe try your best to minimize exposure as much as possible because you don't want to be struck by lightning by any means. And if you have any topics that you are interested in me doing a deep dive on, you can always send them to my email, stumbledpod@gmail.com. Otherwise, I hope that you all stay safe, and I will be seeing you next Friday.